companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another fantastic episode on the Silsila, The Timeless Message. And subhanAllah, today on The Timeless Message, we are going to be discussing a very thought-provoking, beautiful topic of discussion, and that is regarding why is religion needed. Yes, we are going to be discussing the importance of it and how crucial it is in our lives and how it matters so much. So do stay tuned for that as we journey along today's topic to discuss this in detail, inshallah. But before that, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which our beloved master Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that whoever reads the Quran praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sends salat upon me, and then asks for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person has found goodness, has found blessings from its source. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So let us all collectively, full of love, send salawat upon Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, viewers of Madani Channel, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the countless blessings that He has bestowed upon you and I. Upon that, we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, ala kulli hal. For you and I to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will take us a very, very long way in life. It will grant us success in this world as well as in the hereafter. You want to see barakah in your sustenance, you want to see barakah in your home, you want to see barakah in your job, in your work, in your business. Always be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran teaches us, the more you are grateful to Allah, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase for you. The more blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you. So always be grateful in life. So yes, we are discussing why is religion needed? Why it's so important? Subhanallah. You know, Islam is such a beautiful religion, divis of Madani Channel. If you have to go back in time and look at how the world was before the advent of Islam, before the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon this earth, it was known as the Dark Ages. You know, the period between Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, when he ascended into the heavens, that period until the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is known as the period of Jahiliyyah, period of ignorance, the Dark Ages, wherein people, they were involved in immorality, they were involved in indecencies, they were involved in so much wrong, to the extent that they would bury a newborn baby girl alive. Allahu Akbar. Women were treated as objects. Women were objectified. You know, women had no status. Women were disregarded. They were treated even worse than animals. Gambling was rampant, drinking alcohol, fornication, theft, you name it. All sorts of immoralities, indecencies and vices took place in that period of ignorance. And subhanAllah, with the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the entire world bloomed, the world illuminated. Because with the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, he brought the beautiful deen of Islam. Before Islam, people didn't know how to eat, how to drink properly, how to sleep, how to clean oneself. You know, people didn't know the rights of each other. Islam came and Islam taught us how to be a human. Islam taught us how to be a human being, how to be a Muslim, how to be a believer, how to sleep, how to go to the toilet, how to clean yourself after you answer the call of nature, how to respect the rights of others. I mean, Islam even gave rights to the animals as well. Allahu Akbar. So we see how beautiful Islam is. You know, that when we wonder and we think, why must we drink in three sips? And you know, you make it some way, if it's such a hot day, they may be thirsty and they would gulp the whole water down. But if you really look at it, when you drink in three sips, what happens? It causes ease to your kidneys. It causes ease to your body. Drinking in one gulp, you're adding pressure onto your kidneys. So we see a beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a teaching of Islam to drink in three sips. When we sit in the position of at-tahiyyat, then in that position, it is mentioned that it helps with your digestive system. Look how beautiful Islam is. That Islam, when we look at it, it is the only way of life. Islam is the code of life from all aspects, from whether it be you're single and you're wanting to get married, Islam even guides you in that matter as well. When you are married, Islam guides you in that matter as well. You get children, Islam guides you there. You are a child, Islam even guides you there as well. You are a teenager, Islam guides you there. Islam guides us in every single walk of life, every single aspect of life. Islam guides you and I. So we really, you know, have to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for choosing us to be Muslims, for choosing us to be a part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, this is such a great blessing for United Nations of Madinah in general, where in every day of our life, even if you do not have much of this world, even if you are not rich in this world, even if you are not wealthy in this world, but if you are a Muslim, if you have Iman, then you have the most valuable treasure, which is priceless. And that is the treasure of Iman. You have that, you have everything. Even if you may have a small vehicle, a small house, less to eat, that's fine, you can manage. But if a person does not have Iman, if a person does not have Islam, then that person, no matter how much he can have, no matter how rich he may be, in reality, he has nothing. He has no real wealth. Muslims, you and I, we have the real wealth, which is the wealth of faith, which is the wealth of Iman. So today we are going to be talking about why is the religion needed? How is it so important in our lives? Now, as we journey along, inshallah, we are going to be covering some beautiful aspects. We will be learning firstly, why is the religion needed? We are going to be learning about the lack of intelligence of an irreligious person. We are going to be learning about a beautiful example of the lack of intelligence in humanism. And also, we are going to be learning about Sharia or personal temperament. So yes, and to begin with, I want to start off with a beautiful ayah, verse of the Holy Quran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًا فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. The translation of this ayah, we said, descend from paradise, all of you. So if guidance comes to you from me, then those who will comply with my guidance shall neither be afraid nor will they grieve. Those who will disbelieve and reject my verses shall be the people of the fire. They will remain therein forever. Subhanallah, divas of Madinah in general. What a beautiful ayah. And we've had the honor of reading and listening to this ayah of Surah Baqarah. In these two verses, the standard of life has been explained for us. And this was a time when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam had not even been created yet. Before his creation, it was announced to the angels, Inni ja'inun fil ardi khalifa, and I'm about to make a khalifa upon the earth, a representative upon the earth. And following this, when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, when he arrived on the earth for his role as a khalifa, how were he and his future children supposed to fulfill this responsibility of being khulafa, being representatives. What would be the manifesto for this, the code of conduct for this? Based on what principles should a human live his life regarding himself, regarding his family, his home, his neighborhood, and the entire society? On what foundations should this world be built? Now, regarding this, a clear, crystal clear lesson was given, as it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, when it is said, قُلْنَا هَبِثُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأَتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًا. We said, descend from paradise, all of you, so if guidance comes to you. Now, we learned that when a human arrived in this world, on the earth, he was not supposed to spend his life according to his own intellect, his own liking, his own desires, or his own thoughts and ideas. Rather, to know the ways of spending life from his own self to the entire society, all principles and rules, complete guidance would be granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is exactly what happened. Allah ta'ala sent prophets alayhi wassalatu wassalam, revealed books, heavenly books, and finally sent his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. By revealing his final word, the Holy Quran, upon him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the system of guidance for mankind. Now, human beings have this complete system. So, we are not free to follow our own intellect, our own thinking, our own emotions, or our own ideas regarding our personal life, our home and household, our business, our customs and traditions, wider society. Rather, we are bound to follow the guidance given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَن تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those who will comply with my guidance shall neither be afraid nor will they grieve. Those who will disbelieve and reject my verses shall be the people of the fire. They will remain therein forever. Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahimahullah, he writes while explaining the summary of this verse, something very, very beautiful. In summary, he says, when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidina Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha left paradise, they did not know whether they were leaving forever or if they would ever be allowed to return. So to put their minds at ease, it was said, now all of you go down from paradise to earth. They, my merciful gaze will remain upon you. I will send my guidance to you, meaning your children in the form of prophets, books, and then the deputies of the prophets, meaning the scholars and the spiritual guides. So Adam, alayhi salam, whoever from your children acts according to my guidance, to the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will have no fear for the future and no grief for the life that has passed. Instead, they will remain happy and successful in both worlds. And whoever does not accept my guidance from the heart or denies any of our signs, meaning any heavenly book or any prophet alayhi salam, and instead considers eating, drinking, and enjoying life like animals as his real purpose, he will burn in the fire of hell forever and will never be able to come out of it. In these ayat, in these verses, we have been given a clear lesson that we are the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. He is that noble individual whom Allah Ta'ala made his khalifa, made his representative and sent to the earth. We are from his children. We are not completely free or without restraint in this world. Instead, a proper manual, a proper set of instructions has been given here for our life, for our own selves, for our homes, and for the betterment of the society. These rules and principles have been given to us in the form of the Holy Quran and the divine religion. Now we are bounded by these principles, rules, religion, and Sharia at every moment every time, every place, and in every way. We must spend our lives following the religion and the Sharia. If we move away from this, then we will neither find success in this world, nor will we find salvation in the hereafter. You know, it's a fact that humans need divine guidance at every moment in this world. Today, a large number of irreligious people and non-Muslims are heard saying that we do not need any divine guidance and that we will solve all our matters with our own intellect. Ma'azallah. Now, this misguided viewpoint is sometimes called humanism and sometimes called deism. So in short, this is a complete movement of irreligious people and non-Muslims who mislead people by saying, what is the need for a heavenly religion? Why can't we do everything with our own intellect? Now, this objection of these irreligious people is considered powerful. And these unintelligent people are trying to spread this objection with passion on social media and other platforms. I mean, it's a very simple matter. Humans have not been given so much intellect that they can solve every matter through it. The truth is that without religion and Sharia, without Islam, solving matters and problems is a distant thing. A human cannot even recognize himself through his intellect alone. I mean, countless centuries have passed from the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam until now. During this time, great philosophers came, great expert scientists came, great intellectuals were born. History is a witness that in these many centuries, whoever denied the religion and based his life on his own intellect, instead of the guidance sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not gain any honor. Instead, that person faced humiliation. I mean, read history and see for yourself. Those who did not believe in religion either started worshipping the stars or started worshipping the sun. Some bowed down to trees, some worshipped fire, some rubbed their foreheads before stones. This means that those who based everything on intellect did not even have the sense to realize how fire, which they lit with their own hands, could be worthy of worship. Allahu Akbar. Now I want to give you an incident. Sayyidina Amr bin Jamuh, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was an Ansari companion. He was the chief of his tribe. And he was very wise, he was intelligent. Before he accepted Islam, he had kept an idol made of wood in his house. And he used to call it Manat and considered it his god. When the light of Islam spread in Madinatul Munawwara, the sons of Sayyidina Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu ta'ala anhu were blessed with guidance and they accepted Islam. Then they invited their father to Islam, but at that point, Sayyidina Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu ta'ala anhu was an enemy of religion and a follower of his own intellect. He refused to accept Islam. His sons, they thought of a plan. They came up with something to explain things to their father. What they did was, when it was night and everyone was asleep, they picked up the wooden idol that Sayyidina Amr used to worship and they threw it into a pile of filth. When morning came, Sayyidina Amr saw that the idol was not in its place. He searched far and wide, but was unable to locate it. And finally, while searching, he reached the place or the pile of rubbish and saw his idol lying there in humiliation. So he trembled, he was shivering, he picked it up quickly. He brought it home, he washed it, he gave it a bath, he put perfume on it, and he started worshipping in its place. The next night, the sons did the same thing again. The next morning, the idol was again not in its place and was found in the rubbish pile. When this happened a few times, Sayyidina Amr bin Jamuh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he began to understand something. So he hung a sword around the neck of the idol and he said, if there is any good in you, protect yourself today. When night came, the sons of Sayyidina Amr did something different. They took the sword from the neck of the idol and hung a dead dog in its place. The next day, when Sayyidina Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhu saw this, his heart got happy. He was overjoyed. his heart was enlightened. He scolded the idol and said, if you were a god, you would not have been humiliated with a dog hung around your neck. And after this, Sayyidina Umar bin Jamuh radiallahu ta'ala anhu recited the kalima, accepted Islam, and came onto the path of guidance. Now, the use of Madinah, you know, this is just one incident. I mean, thousands of such incidents are present in the pages of history. This is the reach of intellect. Those who do not take the guidance sent by Allah Ta'ala as their leader, how much do they humiliate themselves? I mean, it's clear that when we cannot even recognize our own value through our intellect, how will we be able to solve other matters? We can't. Look at today's era of advancement. Those who are irreligious and claim that they can manage their matters without divine guidance, such as humanism, deism, etc., have not given humans more importance than animals. They believe that just as other living things are a part of this world, humans are also just a part of the natural world. This is the reach of the intellect. Those so-called intellectuals who claim that we do not need religion and that intellect is enough for us, this is their condition. They have not even recognized themselves yet and have not been able to understand themselves as anything more than an animal. It is only the religion that told us, not only in today's advanced era, but thousands of years ago, that humans are not like animals, but are the representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made humans the caretakers of this earth. Now, I'll explain it to you. It's a very simple example. Let's say, for example, summer, right, has started. Soon, this is just for an understanding purpose, just as an example. Let's say summer, hypothetically, summer has started and soon the heat is going to increase and many posts are going to start to go viral. People will encourage other by saying, it's hot, please fill bowls with the water, bring the bottles, you know, with water for the for the birds, for the sparrows, so the poor creatures do not die of thirst. Alhamdulillah, many people do this. You know, and those who do not should also do it. You know, see, for the animals as well, for the birds, they can also come, have a few sips of some chilled, nice water. They can also quench their thirst. But the point I want to draw your attention to is that, is there any other creation on this earth that cares for other creations in this way? Does any animal ever think that, you know what, I should care for humans? Why do these feelings of care only arise in a human? And the simple answer is that the human is the best of all creations. All other creations found on this earth are a part of this world, but the human is that great creation whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the caretaker of this earth. This is the religion that tells you and I, that tells us, which is documented in the Holy Quran. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa sakhkhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ardi jami'an minhu. And he made everything that in the heavens and whatever is in the earth subservient to you from himself. So we see views of Madinah, inshallah. This is the real value and price of a human. This is the importance of a human. A human being is not just a part of the natural world like animals. Rather, a human being is the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the caretaker of this world. The human is the one for whom the sun, the moon, and stars have been put to work. The human is the one for whom everything on the earth has been made subservient. I mean, how surprising it is that those who claim we can do everything with intellect have not yet been able to recognize themselves, their abilities, or their importance. Now, what else will they be able to do? It is a fact that the real value, importance, and correct identity of a human are only found through religion. Now, Dr. Iqbal has mentioned something very beautiful. I'll mention it to you in English. The explanation of what he says. He says, the reality of a human, his hidden true abilities, his value and importance. The meaning is that the hidden secret of the reality of a human and his true abilities is in La ilaha illallah. As long as a human does not hand himself over completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger by saying La ilaha illallah, meaning by reciting the kalima, his abilities remain hidden. A human who is the best of all creations cannot recognize himself fully until he becomes a follower of this religion, Islam. Until a human follows the religion, he cannot recognize himself properly. And Iqbal, he said at another place, meaning that the one who knows the path of guidance, the final Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the master and leader of everyone, it is his high personality who turned the dust of the path into the light of the valley of Sinai. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go to the markets of Makkah and announce, Ya ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. That, oh people, say la ilaha illallah and you will find success. I mean, history is witness that whoever said labbaik through this call of guidance reached such heights of progress and success that cannot even be imagined. And whoever denied it fell into the pit of humiliation and disgrace. Abu Jahl denied it. Where is he today? There is no sign of his name left. On the other hand, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu recited the kalima. What heights did he reach? Abu Lahab denied it and he was destroyed. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu recited the kalima and reached such high ranks that even the irreligious people of today learn lessons from his life. Utbah, Shayba, and other leaders of Makkah denied it. Today there is no one to take their names. And on the other hand, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from Abyssinia, from Ethiopia, recited the kalima. And then time saw that he was standing on the roof of the Kaaba calling the Adhan. Subhanallah. So we have learned that this is the religion, this is the divine guidance, and this is the guidance sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without this guidance, let alone live a successful life, a human cannot even recognize himself. And this is only one example, Yusuf Madani. Apart from this, there are many other problems for which humans used their intellect for thousands of years, but could not find a solution. Only the religion sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives correct solution to these problems. For example, the issue of women's rights, feminism. Humans have been searching for its solution for centuries. Philosophers like Aristotle and Plato spent a lot of time thinking about the importance of women in society. And as a result, someone called a woman a snake, someone called her devil. Sometimes this poor group was made a victim of cruelty, and sometimes her honor was torn to pieces. Even in today's advanced era, observe these followers of intellect, these irreligious people who are tired of religion. They have turned a woman into just an advertisement on a billboard. It is only Islam that told us that if a woman is a daughter, she is a mercy. If a woman is a sister, she is an honor. If a woman is a mother, Jannah is under her feet. If a woman comes home as a wife, half of a man's iman becomes protected because of her. Similarly, the problem of economics, how to earn money, how to spend it. This issue was also under discussion for centuries, but intellect could not find a solution. Many revolutions like capitalism came and many movements started, but the problem remained the same. Those who were poor became poorer, and those who were rich became richer. Only Islam is the religion that solved this problem. I mean, history is witness that Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, implemented the Islamic system during his 2.5-year rule. The society progressed so much that no one could be found who was needy enough to take zakat. Allahu Akbar. And now, you find every second person needy of zakat. Imagine in his rule, 2.5 years, no one could be found who was needy enough to take zakat. I mean, that's a profound statement, Yusuf Madani Channel. If you really have to ponder over it, it shows you how just Islam is. It shows you how strong Islam is. If only people follow Islam, that even the economic system of this world could rise if the systems of Islam are followed. So in short, there are thousands of problems upon which humans spend centuries thinking and pondering and using their intellect, but could not find a solution. And this is the religion of Islam, the guidance sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has found the best solution for these problems. All these historical facts prove that in this world, humans need the religion of Islam and the Sharia. A human is bound to hand himself over completely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he should spend his life according to their will. And inshallah, in his home, his business, and all his matters, if he makes Sharia the standard, he will find success. He will find progress in this world and in the hereafter. And if a person does not do this, if a human does not do this, then even if he enjoys life for a little while in this world, he's going to face disgrace, he's going to face humiliation in the hereafter. You know, it's narrated that there was a person who became a king in his youth. So he was a bit worried about how he would run such a big kingdom at such a young age and with so little experience. So he consulted with his companions and the people of his court. And good people told him that the guidance of scholars is absolutely necessary to run the kingdom. And the young king understood this. So he called the scholars and spiritual guides from the whole city and requested them, all of you, please stay with me. When you see me following the divine religion, encourage me. When you find me moving away from the religion, stop me. So the scholars, they took this responsibility. This young king, he started running the kingdom under the guidance of the scholars. He ruled successfully for, guess for how many years? He ruled for 400 years successfully. When 4 centuries passed, Shaitan came to him in a human form and said, "Who are you?" The king said, "I am one of the children of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam." And from here, Shaitan trapped him and said, "You are not a human. If you were a human, you would have died like other humans. You have been ruling for 4 centuries, 400 years, and have not even faced death. This proves that you are not human, but you are a god." Allahu Akbar. Leave the company of the religion. Leave the company of the scholars. Call people to worship you. So this young man, he fell for the trap. He fell prey to the words of Shaitan. He became obsessed with his own intellect. He left the religion. He left the guidance sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and claimed to be a god. When this happened, Allah ta'ala sent revelation to the Prophet alayhi salam of that time. The command was, tell this king that as long as you remain on the straight path, I kept your kingdom established. Now that you have started disobeying me, by my honor and majesty, now Bakht Nasr, who was a cruel king, will be given power over you. Then it came to pass that after some time, Bakht Nasr attacked this misfortunate king, cut his head off, and took control of his kingdom. And he views somebody, you know, this is a very, very enlightening story that has a lot of lessons for you and I. That he was a king, this young man. He was a king. He had power. He had treasures. He ruled for 4 centuries, for 400 years successfully under the guidance of the ulama, under the guidance of the scholars. As long as he followed the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remained an obedient servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his kingdom continued. That is why 400 years successfully, his kingdom was being established. It was successful. As soon as he turned away from Islam, from the religion, and followed his own intellect, he fell into the trap of shaitan. He got destroyed. His kingdom, his crown, his jewels, his throne, his power could not save him from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this series of Madani, inshallah, we learn that you and I, we must remain obedient to the religion of Islam and the Sharia in every moment, every time, and in every matter of life. Because goodness lies in this for you and I. Our honor is in this. Our respect is in this. Our dignity is in this. Success in both worlds is in this. And this is the real standard of our life. Now, we are Muslims. Alhamdulillah. We believe in the religion of Islam, in the Sharia. We believe in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from our hearts. We accept them with our heart and soul. But there is a problem among us. Many times, due to personal temperament, or due to the customs and traditions of society, or to save our respect, to save our worldly honor, we push religion and Sharia to one side. For example, if there is a wedding, many people think that if there are no drums, if there is no music, if there is no party, then the wedding is dead. The wedding is not going to be enjoyable. And if there is an occasion of happiness, people disregard the Sharia to preserve their reputation in the family. In the matter of parda, people see family traditions and do not act upon the Sharia. For example, people say, if I make my daughters put parda on, the family is going to start talking. What will people say if I keep a beard? What will people say if I wear a turban? What will people say if I wear clothes according to the sunnah? What will people say about this? What are people going to say about that? We are so worried about what people are going to say, but we aren't worried about our deen. We are not worried about the Sharia. This nature that is developing is not good. There was a hypocrite named Akhnas bin Shuriq. And regarding him, it is mentioned in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادُ. And when it is said to him, fear Allah, then his stubbornness incites him to sin more. So for such an individual, Jahannam is sufficient. And that is certainly an evil abode. So we learn, news of Madinah Shana, that this is a sign of a hypocrite. When something is explained to him, he stubbornly sticks to his point. He considers it an insult to accept someone else's word. He makes it, you know, a matter of his own honor when he is given advice. Now, the views of Madinah Shana, there is guidance in this. We should not make our world or imaginary honor a hurdle in the path of religion. We should prioritize Islam over everything. We should act upon whatever Islam and the Sharia command with our heart and soul and with passion. And inshallah, our honor in this world and the hereafter will not decrease. Rather, it will increase more than before. You know, in Basra, there was a pious man, famous by the name of Miski, rahimahullah. Musk is an Arabic word for a perfume. So he was called Miski because his body always smelt of perfume. He was always fragrant. And it is said that whichever path he used to walk on, it would become fragrant. When he entered the masjid, people will know from the fragrance that Sayyidina Miski rahimahullah had arrived. So someone asked, "You must be spending a lot of money on perfume." And he said, "I have never bought perfume, nor have I applied it." My story is very strange. He says that I was born in a wealthy family of Baghdad. And just like rich people have their children educated, I was also educated. I was very handsome and modest. Someone said to my father that sit him in the market so that he mixes with people and his modesty decreases. So I was made to sit in a clothes shop. One day, an old woman took out some expensive clothes. Then she said to the shopkeeper, "Let's send someone with me so that whoever likes them can take them after paying the price and bring the rest back." So the shopkeeper, he says that he sent me with her. And that old woman took me to a very beautiful grand palace. She took me inside and sent me to a decorated room. And over there, I saw a young girl dressed in jewelry and beautiful clothes, sitting on a throne. And as soon as she saw me, Shaitan overcame that girl. She immediately, she ran and she rushed towards me to commit a sin. So I said with fear, that fear Allah. But Shaitan had completely taken control over her. When I saw her stubbornness, I thought of a plan to escape her. So I said to her, "I need to go to the toilet. I need to go to the washroom." She called out and four maidservants came. She said, "Take your master to the washroom." When I went there, I saw there's no way to escape. I was feeling shy before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fear of the punishment of hell was overcoming me. So I thought of a path. I smeared, filth from the toilet on my hands and face. I looked very strange. And when I rushed towards the maidservant who was waiting with a towel and water like a madman, she ran away in fear. She started screaming, she started shouting, she's saying, "Madman, madman." And all the maidservants, they gathered and they wrapped me in a mat and they threw me into a garden. When I was sure they had all left, I got up, washed my clothes, washed my body, and I went home. But I did not tell this to anyone. And that same night, I saw in a dream that someone was saying, "You are just like Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam." Then he asked, "Do you know me?" I said, "No." He said, "I am Jibreel alayhi salam." After this, he rubbed his hand on my face and body. And from that very moment, a beautiful fragrance of musk started coming from my body. Subhanallah, subhanallah. How beautiful is that, the views of Madinah channel? When a person leaves the words of people to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to act upon the religion of Islam, see what happens. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the honor of that servant. That pious man made himself smell bad. He didn't care about people. He didn't care about what they're going to say, about how he's going to be looking, what mud on his face and the stink that's emanating from him. He didn't care about all of that. That pious man made himself intentionally, purposely smell bad. Why? To obey the command of the Sharia. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him fragrant forever. So we should also act upon the religion of Islam sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the commands of our beloved Prophet Sayyidina wa Mulana Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After we will see inshallah success will kiss our feet in this world and in the hereafter. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon all of these beautiful teachings. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. And as of now, viewers of Madinah channel, we do have a beautiful kalam. So let us go and rejuvenate our hearts, minds, bodies and soul in the love of the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, we will be back to discuss much more, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasool Allah, Ya Rasool Allah, Naseema jaane ve bad hawa guzar. کن نسیما جانی بے بدلہ گزر کن
نسیما جانی بے بدلہ گزر کن نسیما نسیما نظر کن زروے لطف سوئے من نظر کن
یا نسیما جانی بے بدلہ
دراجا ببری جان مشتاق دراجا فدائے روضہ خیر البشر کن فدائے روضہ خیر بشر کن
نسیما جانی بے بدلہ گزر کن زی آوارم محمد را خبر کن
نگاہ برمن بے بابلو پر کن نظر کن بحالِ مبتلائے غم نظر کن
نسیما جانی بے بدلہ گزر کن زی آوارم محمد خبر کن
مشرف گر شد جامی ذی لطفش مشرف گرچ شد جامی ذی لطفش خدایا ای کرم بارے دیگر کن خدایا ای کرم بارے پیارے دیگر کن
یا سیما
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ, بیوٹیفل کلام. می اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی گرانٹ اس آل دی کمپلیٹ لو فور ہز بیلوڈ حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. آمین یا رب العالمین. الحمدللہ, کمنگ بیک ٹو آور ٹاپک آف ڈسکشن ان وچ وی آر ڈسکسنگ وائی از ریلیجن نیڈڈ. سبحان اللہ, اینڈ تھس فار وی ہیو کورڈ مینی مینی اسپیکٹس ٹو ڈیمونسٹریٹ اینڈ ٹو ایکسپلین وائی از Islam so needed. And subhanallah, I'm sure by now we have understood the importance of this and also the views of Madani Channel. You know, Islam is a peace loving and truthful religion. It is a perfect religion that's spreading fast across the globe. Islam is the only religion which has the largest number of followers and well wishers in the entire globe. Now, it has the best rules and regulations and guidance for individuals associated with every aspect of life, like religious, worldly, and the hereafter. Moral, physical, spiritual, domestic, family, social, and economic aspect of life. You know, these things prove that Islam is a complete code of life. And alhamdulillah, only Islam is the favorite religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Quran, it is mentioned when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Al-Yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-Islam deena. Today I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So we see the views of Madani Channel, how beautiful this religion of Islam is. And we have to make shukr and show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us Muslims and a part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, parents are those great personalities whose children mean everything to them. No matter if the children are useless, disobedient, or even disabled, they are still the apple of their eyes. But parents are the helpless members of the society who have been oppressed in every era. The disobedient children forget all the favors of their parents and consider their mother to be like a gooseberry. They treat their parents even worse than servants. If parents advise their children for their betterment, children stare at them, scold them, taunt them, and threaten to expel them from the house. Even now, things have become so terrible that in some countries, old people's homes have been established to look after the parents who have been expelled from their homes and oppressed by their children. In old people's home, parents spend their entire life feeling sorrow for the separation from their children and crying in their memory. Now, remember that Islam strongly condemns these things. And I'm mentioning this to you so you know. So we know how that in Islam, very clear guidance has been given in abundance on the respect for parents and fulfilling their rights. The amount of persuasion and emphasis Islam has put on fulfilling their rights and protecting their honor is sufficient to awaken heedless people to it. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُل لَّهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُل لَّهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُل رَّبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And treat parents with goodness. If one of them or both reach old age in front of you, so do not say even "ugh" to them. And do not scold them and speak to them words of respect and spread for them the arm of humbleness with a soft heart and request humbly that, O my Rabb, have mercy on them both just as they brought me up in my childhood. Oh, subhanallah. What a beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, verse of Madani Channel. Look at how this guidance, Islam, is encouraging you and I to respect our parents. Islam teaches us that we must respect our parents by every word and every action of ours and always take care of their respect. obey the orders of your parents in every permissible action. If your parents need anything, look after them by using your time and wealth. If your parents take anything from your wealth and possessions out of need, never mind it. And no, express your anger towards them, but rather consider that you and your entire wealth of yours all belong to your parents. The hadith mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to a person, "Anta wa maluka li abika," that you and your wealth all belong to your father. Allahu Akbar. Like we see also, pay off your parents' debts, act upon their wills after their death. If your parents pass away, then visit the graves of your parents. Recite Fatiha at their graves. Say salam to them and make dua for forgiveness for them. These acts will please their ruh, their souls. Placing the reward of Fatiha in the dishes of Noor, angels will present them before your parents, and that will please them. And they then will make dua for their sons and daughters. Now, SubhanAllah, even of Mother Nature, Islam is a very beautiful religion that has awakened people to the rights of parents in a proper manner. If Islam had not been brought to the world, then who would have taught us how to protect the rights of parents in this way, in this manner? So, following the teachings of Islam, practically, we should also value our parents, fulfill their rights, avoid the acts which displease them, and consider that looking after them is an honor, is a privilege, both in this world and in the hereafter. Subhanallah, subhanallah. You know, though you want to gain the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey your parents. Because when you make your parents happy, they will make dua for you. They have to make one dua for you. Who knows, you might become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we see Sayyidina Abu Yazid Bustami rahimahullah. His mother was so happy with him. And his mother made dua for him by saying, "Ya Allah, I am pleased with my son Abu Yazid. You also be pleased with him. And his name is famous throughout the entire world. Everyone knows who Sayyidina Abu Yazid Bustami rahimahullah is." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm upon the religion of Islam and grant us death with iman upon the religion of Islam. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Until then, keep watching Madani channel and keep sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Companions, believers, the stories we hear, the timeless message forever clear. The timeless message forever clear. The timeless message. The timeless message.